Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special with me, Ashish Sharma, a series of podcasts in which we speak to those in positions of influence within the Olympic movement. Recently, the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, held its symposium in Lausanne in Switzerland. Jez Inson went along to the event on behalf of Sport Intern, and here we catch up with him ahead of his interview with the WADA Director General, Olivier Nigli, who's been in his position since 2016.
Final interview was with WADA Director General Olivier Nigli, and we began by chatting about the need to keep educating athletes and those who support them about the health risk inherent with doping. How much of a concern is it for WADA that we still do focus on the fact that, you know, taking drugs and doping isn't particularly good for their health?
Well, I mean, that's one of the big concerns, obviously. I mean, we are doing, you know, anti-doping is there to protect the integrity of the game, but also to protect the individuals against themselves, if you want, or at least to raise their awareness about the risk for their health. That's why we always come back to the importance of education and the need to have more education at a younger age with the athletes, but also with the entourage, with the parents, because there could be safeguards along the way, you know, and people say, no, don't do that because this is going to impact your health. And, you know, if you do it, you're going to regret it in a few years down the road. So obviously, the health component is a very important one.
We're sort of moving on into the 2020s. We've hopefully left the worst of COVID behind. In terms of the education, how has that sort of been adapted and changed over the last couple of years through the pandemic?
Yeah, but it's interesting because, in fact, I would be tempted to say that education almost benefited from the COVID situation. Because we were all forced into finding new ways of communication and become virtual and digital and so on, we were able to do a lot more training online with athletes that would have been hard to reach in person because it would have required a lot of travel and so on. So we did a lot of webinar and other, you know, online courses that they could access at their time and so on, which I think has actually created a good momentum for athletes and has allowed us to reach a larger population that we would normally have. So in that sense, you know, there's always a positive side to some of this crisis. It wasn't bad. And I think going forward, there's still going to be a need for in-person things and the human interaction, and we're going to restart some program in events, you know, outreach program during the events. But we're also going to continue this digital education approach because it can make a big difference, and we reach out to many, many more athletes than we would normally do.
Of course, the athletes, they are the people who are at the center of the games. You talk about the changing nature of things like online education. How much is it sort of a slight change of approach? Sort of maybe the pandemic gave us a bit of a push in terms that there is more online and sort of reacting to the way that the athletes who are younger people in the main sort of live their life with their phones and online.
Yeah, well, I think the pandemic has in some way probably accelerated something that was already coming, which is that we're becoming more and more digital, and the young generation is on social networks, and that's how they communicate, and that's where they get their information from, and so on. So it is for us now to adapt to that. It is for us to, you know, understand what language they talk, and it is for us to provide the right content so it's appealing to them. That's why we fund also some social science research, so that we would get from researchers some indication as to what is meaningful to the new generation, as opposed to old guys like you and me, I'm sorry, to decide what would work.
No, that's all right. Sorry, unfortunately, we are all getting that way. But of course, we've had two Olympics hopefully we'll never have them as close together again in the future. There's been other major events, European Championships last year in football, among others. So what learnings have you taken from Tokyo and Beijing and all the other major events that have taken place throughout the pandemic?
Well, I mean, I think for us, for us, the impact of the pandemic for these big events was mainly that we were not able to deliver in-person education in the village. That was the main downside. Apart from that, our concern initially was that it would be hard to organize a good pre-game testing program, which is key because that's where you want to test the athletes when they're preparing to go to this event, both Federation and NADOs, so that they focus on those athletes going to go and compete at the games, was able to take place and fully take place. The numbers of out-of-competition tests that was performed in the leading to Tokyo and Beijing was actually higher than it was in 2019, pre-pandemic. So that was good. I think the anti-doping community reacted very well and was very resilient to the situation, and allowed for the opportunity to tell all the athletes coming that everybody's been treated equally, everybody's been tested, and there's no worry, or there shouldn't be any worry linked to COVID per se. Now the other thing that was not a concern to us, but interesting to watch is how to organize such mega events in a situation like COVID, and how the organizer was able to cope with that. And frankly, I mean, we can only be full of admiration both for the Japanese, the Chinese, and the IOC for having managed that. I mean, I don't think many people would have bet that this would actually happen.
Absolutely not. And do you see any way that attitudes to doping have changed throughout the pandemic and going in, sort of the way that people perhaps might try and cheat the system or just the way people support each other if they are clean athletes?
Honestly, I don't know. We don't have enough data or enough, survey to be able to respond to that. I'm not sure. I mean, I think people tend to forget very rapidly. We're already forgetting that there was a pandemic 6 months ago. I mean, we're back to normal life. And I don't know if it will fundamentally change the approach towards doping. Those who want to cheat might still do that. And those who never have cheated anyway will not have started. So, no, the funny thing I would say for us is that doping was not the center of attention, clearly, during these big events and so on, because the testing that was done was more for COVID than for doping.
Absolutely, certainly was. Those of us who were there got a bit sick of those various tests. I realise it's more of an idea from one of your colleagues, but AI, how is WADA approaching the issues of artificial intelligence?
Well, for us, it's only one thing we are doing is investing into research. And then we have to leave it to the scientists and those who know better to come out with some results. There is, at least on paper, good opportunities to get AI help us identify trends and identify anomalies and make the system more efficient. And I think it's important for anti-doping to become more efficient. That should be one of our target: innovative, efficient. But science and research in particular is requires a lot of investment, requires a good amount of patience. And I can only be hopeful that at the end of the day, we get some concrete results which makes a difference. But until we have this result, it's hard to predict.
Absolutely, and the last bit before we wrap up, Russia, their invasion of Ukraine. You mentioned on stage, obviously, really hasn't affected things in Russia too much. They're not being invaded. The war isn't happening there. But in Ukraine, what sort of work have you had with Ukrainian anti-doping authorities? Obviously, they've got more important things to worry about. But what sort of conversations have you had?
Yeah, well, we had a lot of conversation with them, as was mentioned, the Ukrainian NADO, some of the employees of the Ukrainian NADO have actually moved abroad. They have been one, the head of testing is actually now based in Poland and is being employed by the Polish anti-doping agency, who has offered her a job and as a real solidarity gesture. And the discussion we had with them is really to identify where are your athletes now? Where have they gone? And they know where they are because they keep following them through whereabouts. And it's not just the top elite, it's also the next level, which was in under their radar before. And so what we have organized with them is identify the territory in which these athletes are. And then we have contacted each of the NADOs from this region. And we've told them, well, listen, you have this Ukrainian athlete. They are in your country. They are training there. They might be participating to competition. Would you agree to put them on your testing pool? Would you agree to pay for testing them for the collection and the analysis so that they remain part of the community, so that they remain part of the anti-doping program? And 100% of the NADOs we contacted, 19 in total, said yes. And so the Polish guy, for example, organized 100 tests. Another country, maybe with less, would do 20 or 30. But this will means that, you know, they still get tested. And we said the same to the International Federation. Higher level athletes, they're on your radar. They're not anymore in Ukraine. You know where they are. So make sure they are part of your testing because they're not going to be tested by their country for a period of time. So, and everybody's agreed. So it's very, yeah, it's a huge solidarity that is being shown there. And I think it's very important for the Ukrainian athletes, A, to know that they are part of the community, that we care about them, and two, that they also, vis-a-vis the other athletes, they are not being seen as being from outside, you know, that there will be no undue suspicion put on them if they come to competition, qualification for big games and so on. So we're trying to work with that, but I have to say, the Ukrainian people are surprising because I had this conversation about a month ago and I learned, to my great surprise, that they had resumed testing in Ukraine. Not in the place where you have fights, but in other part of the country, the NADOs had already organized some tests in Ukraine, which I found it amazing, but probably a very important sign of resilience and you know, a wish to move forward. So we're going to keep supporting them as much as we can and make sure they remain part of the system.
Well, that was the WADA Director General Olivia Nigley in conversation with sport interns Jez Inson. Don't forget, you can get all the latest news from the Olympic movement by subscribing to the Sport Intern newsletter, which is produced daily, Monday to Friday. So, until next time, stay safe.